your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, this replay from this week's daily editorial is from Jordan Roiburn that was posted on Wednesday.
Hello, and welcome to the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Jordan, it's always great getting you on the show just to get your thoughts on the macro setup we see in the markets and how that relates to the precious metals and resource sector. I guess the big news this week, Jordan, was that the CPI reading came in a little hotter than people expected, which threw the markets a curveball because almost everybody was on the side of the boat expecting CPI to keep pulling down, inflation to keep lessening, especially with energy prices pulling back and commodities prices pulling back. But it was kind of a wild card, and as a result, everybody looked forward, the forward-looking market, to, okay, now it looks like the Fed's going to have to hike higher and longer than people expected, and it really hit most markets across the board. What's your outlook on how the Fed cycle is wrapping up and that reading being a little bit hotter on the CPI this week for inflation?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a surprise. And I think there's a couple things we can look at. The first thing is the inflation and in the CPI, which I didn't study that closely, but it seemed that the takeaway was that, yes, you know, commodity prices are coming down, so inflation will come down. But the problem is all the other stuff in the CPI, or at least most of it, is not going down and is actually trending up. And so that's a problem because that's the stuff that I don't want to say it matters more than food and energy, but it's more steady. It's less volatile over time, as we know. And so I think that this idea that the CPI and inflation is going to come back down to 2%, the market is obviously realizing or thinking that that's not going to happen. Yes, the CPI is going to come down, and yes, it's going to be materially lower, probably in 12 months or maybe 15, 18 months. But the odds of it coming back down to 2% or even 3% having a soft landing, that seems really low. So when you have the non-food and energy stuff still trending up, then perhaps next year you're still looking at, I don't know, maybe even a 5% CPI or 5.5% when the market in permabulls are thinking it could come down to below 4%. So that, I think that's one thing that the market is grappling with. And then obviously, you know, when the Fed is going to stop, before this report, the terminal Fed funds rate as per Fed funds futures was 4%. And I think yesterday it came in at 4.33%. So the market essentially added a little bit more than one rate hike to the end of the cycle. And so the Fed is coming closer to the end of the cycle. And I did see a chart, I think it was from the Fed and also Wells Fargo. I don't know if it was a Fed forecast or if it was Wells Fargo's forecast, but basically it showed that the Fed funds rate would get up to 4% or a little bit higher, and then the Fed would be basically starting to cut rates second half of next year and then into 2024. So I think that's probably how the Fed is looking at it, that, okay, now we have a shot to get to 4%. We need to get to 4% because we're going to have to cut rates back down to 2.5% when there's a recession. And so I think the market got spooked because, you know, prior to this news, you're looking at 4% as the end. And, you know, the Fed is basically already up to 3.25% after this month, or at least that's the high end of their target range. And so after this month, they're pretty close to being done anyway. And so I think the market got a little spooked that, you know, ooh, maybe there could be, you know, maybe they could get to 4.25%. But I don't want to overreact to just one piece of news. But I think that was the bigger takeaway was that the non-food and energy part of the report is still trending higher and is not going to come down anytime soon. And that's obviously going to be a big problem over the next 6 to 12 months, because at some point, I mean, you have all these indicators that are flashing recession next year. At some point, the Fed really is going to be between that rock and a hard place where, you know, you're in a recession, but inflation is still an issue. It's not coming down enough. It's not coming down fast enough. So I think, and I think that's what the markets are showing right now, basically, that inflation is still a bigger issue than recession.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And then the other thing that happened is, you know, obviously the 10 years up to 3.4%. We've seen the U.S. dollar reverse. It was around 107, and now it shot back up over 109. So that's kind of hampered the commodity sector again this week. And we did see a nice bounce in silver, which was strange compared to the rest of the commodities, even in the face of the strong dollar. So I'd love to get your thoughts on silver. It was down around the mid-17s, and now it's up in the mid-19s. Pretty big reversal. Why do you think that happened in the face of most everything else pulling back?
Yeah, silver is really interesting here. And I know a lot of just people that I talk to that are not necessarily gold bugs, they've been watching it in the last couple of weeks. And the net spec position in the COT was actually negative, which means that the speculators are actually net short. The commercials are net long. And we've seen that a few times in the past. But essentially, this is the second most bullish position ever, if we're looking at it from a contrary perspective, which is basically how everyone looks at the COT. And so the most bullish reading ever was at the 2018 low, the summer of 2018. Now, there are the other three or four biggest or, you know, best readings in the silver COT. One of those, I think, was in 2019 before the Fed cut and everything took off. And then there were a couple others when silver just rallied for a little while and then it kept going lower. So this doesn't necessarily indicate that silver is at a major bottom here, but it's definitely, I mean, you're looking at, again, the second best reading ever from a contrary perspective. And then in addition to that, if you look at the short interest in the SLV, nominally speaking, that's at an all-time high. If you look at as a percentage of the shares out in SLV, it's basically tied for being at an all-time high. And so if you look in the last 2 months or so, you've had this huge acceleration in short interest in SLV. And at the same time, I mean, silver has come down, but it hasn't really fallen apart that badly. So you've had a huge increase in short interest, but the price has not, I mean, looking at the short interest, the price has held up pretty well. And that data is as of the end of August. So obviously we're getting some short covering here in the market. And so, I mean, these are really good readings for silver. I said in my, you know, premium update last weekend that silver, there's probably enough juice here for silver to get to 22, where there's really significant overhead resistance. But who knows? I mean, it could mark the bottom for silver, or maybe the next low is going to be the bottom. I don't know. I'm not trying to call a bottom here. It's obviously extremely difficult to do that. You know, silver is still in a downtrend. But when you're looking at this sentiment, I can't fathom if sentiment is going to look any better in silver that it just did. If it's going to look better, that's probably going to end up being the bottom, you know, if that happens in a couple months. That's what I would say. So really, really interesting. And I know it dovetails just with general anecdotal sentiment in the sector.
Well, and it's interesting that silver recently has been even outperforming gold this week in light of all this data we've seen. Gold hasn't fallen apart, but it's just gradually pulled back from higher levels in the 1700s down to around 1708 at the time of this recording, where silver had this big rebound of about $2 from the mid 17s to the mid 19s. So it's just interesting, the dichotomy between gold and silver. Everybody's been pointing to gold silver ratio charts and just showing how much silver has underperformed. But do you take anything away from this, or is it just a 1 week blip as far as the relation between silver and gold?
I wish I knew the answer. I mean, I was more hopeful that we would see more of a rally here in gold and also the miners. And I mean, that still may happen. They're still really oversold. And you can't just do a 180 on your own expectations just because there's a couple days of negative price action. I mean, as far as the gold silver ratio, I mean, it's too early. Again, it's too early to say that this is a major turn. I mean, obviously everything looks obvious in hindsight, but you know, you still have the dollar trending up aggressively. You still have as you noted, you know, bond yields are trending up, which, I mean, has surprised me and also a lot of people. So, you know, those things would argue that, you know, on the stock market's weak, those things would argue that gold would outperform silver until the Fed stops hiking. But you just, you don't know. I mean, you only know in hindsight, because who knows? We may not be at the end of this decline in the sector, but, you know, we could be close to the end. And then who knows? Silver starting to outperform, you know, maybe that is the very first sign. I don't know. I mean, I hate to just be evasive, but I really don't know. But it's just interesting because, it, again, in hindsight, this could mark like a major bottom in silver and a coming bottom in the sector. It could be leading, which would be a little surprising, but, you know, in 3 or 6 or 9 months, we could look back and say, oh yeah, that was a signal when silver didn't make a new low. So I think it's definitely something to continue to watch and, you know, see if precious metals turn lower again, but silver doesn't turn lower with the rest of the sector. I mean, that would be an even stronger signal. So, I mean, it's definitely positive looking at the sentiment.
Well, and maybe just one more question on the metals here. A lot of people for the last couple of weeks, really the last couple of months, have been expecting that further washout, I guess the final capitulation, especially with gold, because the miners and silver have already kind of pulled back so far, but I'm sure they would get dragged down a little bit further if we did see gold break down. Everybody's looking at that 1675 key support level, and there seems to be two camps. I'd be curious which camp you're in. The camp that believes it'll just be a flash crash below 1675 that would then have a lot of buying come into the market and create a short covering rally in gold, or the other camp that believes if 1675 breaks that it's signaling we had a double top in gold and that we actually are going to go down to much lower levels, maybe in the 1500s, even some people have said a retest of the pandemic low at 1450. Which camp are you in, Jordan, between those two? Is it just going to be a flash crash, or would it be a larger correction if 1675 broke?
It's too early to say. I mean, there's too many mixed factors right now. I mean, I would have said a couple weeks ago, I would have said I'm in the camp that it's going to break. And I mean, it's important to evaluate all scenarios. So there is a scenario where that happens. And so looking at that scenario, let's say the gold, you know, looking at the gold silver ratio, and of course, looking at silver, which has, you know, really strong major support at $14 to $15, my thinking is in that situation, you get a gold silver ratio in the 100s, maybe 110, maybe a little higher. You get 14, 15 silver, and then you get gold down to at least 1600, you know, probably in the, at least in the, you know, maybe mid 1500s, a 50% retracement. So I think that that's obviously the negative scenario to keep in mind. Now, the issue is in that scenario, because everyone predicting that, or at least expecting that, I would like to hear what their scenario is for the stock market. Because is the stock market going to go down more than gold? Is the stock market not going to go down that much? Because that's going to tell us what happens to the sector. Because if gold's going to break down and go to the low 1500s, or even, you know, the 1400s, as some are saying, I mean, that is, you're looking at, I don't know, close to a 20% or 15, 16% decline. I mean, is the S&P going to go down 20% from that level and, you know, break its 40-month moving average and make a new low? Or does the S&P go down 25% in that scenario? Because if the S&P breaks its low during that scenario, and you have like a September, October 2008, everything sells off, but the S&P does the worst, you know, and gold is still outperforming even during that sell-off, that doesn't bother me, because that's, you're coming into a major bottom and the start of a new secular bull market. So that wouldn't bother me. And you would probably see a quick rebound. I mean, you would see the Fed would have to do a 180 and completely abandon course. So that's one scenario. Obviously, the worst scenario is, you know, you have gold breaks down, but the stock market doesn't break down. It just kind of goes sideways or doesn't threaten to break its low. I think that's a very, very low probability. That would obviously be the worst. You know, then if that happens, you're into some similar, you know, enter more similarities to 2013, but I don't see that happening. So, I mean, those are the scenario. I mean, there's the bullish scenario could have gold breaking below 1675, maybe to the low 1600s, but you get a false break and everybody gets, you know, it's a bear trap. and gold, you know, rebounds aggressively. Again, you know, what happens to the stock market would, you know, that would obviously be a big factor in what happens after that false break. Now, one thing is looking at the sentiment in gold. If the COT in gold, if the net spec position was much, much lower, I would have a lot more confidence that 1675 would hold. But that's one problem for me, is that there's still enough speculators in the market to eventually drive gold lower. So we'll just have to see. I mean, it's really unclear right now. And I don't mean to be evasive in talking circles, but it's just really, really difficult to make a call on that, because I think the evidence is mixed, and maybe in a couple of months the evidence becomes a lot more clear, even if gold is trading around the same level. So that's how I'm looking at it. But I also think that sentiment, just anecdotally in the sector, I mean, if we look at the miners, for example, I'm looking at these charts, they've had some pretty big declines in just the last 4 or 5 months, or even the last 3 or 4 months. And so for them to have another huge decline, I think it would require a lot more time and a lot more consolidation. So I look at that, you know, I look at a week or two ago, you know, we had a spike in new 52-week lows. 71% of GDX made a new 52-week low. And I think in GDXJ it was in the 50s. So I think in the very short term, I still lean towards there being a rally, just because I think sentiment is so... it's really extreme. A lot of indicators are pointing that way, and also anecdotally. So, I mean, that's my short-term view. I'm looking for a rally in the sector. But, I mean, again, as far as 1675, I don't mean to talk in circles, but I can give you a bullish and a bearish answer. But nobody knows at this point.
Well, Jordan, we'll wrap it up there. And I think it's a good point that you want to have a strategy in either scenario, because we don't have enough data to know which way it's going to go yet. And it will depend on the general markets. And it seems like most of the guests we've had on are expecting the relief rally that we just saw from, like, let's say late June into early August to start reversing back down and test those June lows again and possibly have another leg lower. So that may coincide with the break in 1675, or the action lately in silver and the generally oversold nature of the mining stocks, it may be time that we do get a bounce in the precious metal sector, and maybe gold follows suit. So we'll just have to keep following along. But thanks for laying out both sets of scenarios for people to consider so that everybody can have their own strategy in their own portfolios. And we'll check in with you again next week, Jordan, to see what's happening in the markets. Always appreciate getting your thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.